Welcome students for this session on managerial economics, and today we will be discussing chapter 15 which is capital budgeting. What is capital budgeting? Capital budgeting is budgeting the money. In other words, we say that capital budgeting deals with the investment expenditure, implementation of projects and control over the expenditure and resources. So basically we say that it is the time and money aspect of business firms. So the time and the money aspect of any business firm, when it is presented in a quantitative manner, we derive a capital budget report. So it is purely an index of the firm's performance. Therefore, capital budgeting is also known as performance budgeting, where the modern techniques are being used to understand how does the company decides its investment expenditures, how they keep a control over their entire resources, and how they implement the projects such that the company is able to derive maximum profit. It's very important that once a capital budget report is prepared, it becomes a master plan and a guide for the achievement of the firm's various objectives and goals. Now, the most important question comes is that capital budget, is it prepared only for big projects? No. We can divide a capital budget into a short-term and a long-term planning. Now, long-term planning always is controlled by long-term macroeconomic variables. Like what would be after 6 and 7 years ahead the market situation? How would be the government policies? What would be the bank interest rate? Who will be the competitors, etc., etc. So what happens, you know that in the long run, there are many macroeconomic variables which are long run variables. They keep on changing, and estimating them 7 to 8 years ahead is a little a risky estimation. So what is normally done is a long capital budget report is always split down into short term capital budget reports. This short term is basically a 1 year time for which the capital budget reports are prepared. Capital budget reports have basically two main uses, specific and general. We will not focus on the specific reasons of preparing a capital budget report, but focus on taking into account specific capital budget reports. Now, capital budget helps the management in various fields. Let's understand how can a capital budget report help the management. First, it helps the management in the formulation of specific plans. Second, it helps the capital budget report actually helps the coordination of various activities going on in different departments. So coordination of activities in different departments. It takes into account the variations and the deviations between what is planned and achieved. We say that capital budgets also gives us an estimate on how the companies can make the best use of their given resources. So it is a very, very important index of the company's performance in a given period of time. So basically the time and the money aspect of the firm is discussed in capital budgets. Let's understand in detail what capital budget is all about. Capital budgeting is a long-term planning for making and financing proposed capital outlays, investment plans. And long-term planning is split up into short-term capital budget reports, which are later compiled together. Capital budgeting is an application of classic proposition of the economic theory. Now, while preparing capital budget reports, we correlate it with one of the most traditional economic theory, that a firm is in equilibrium when its marginal cost equates its marginal revenue. We have been discussing about this in our previous sessions. We will use the same principle of equilibrium, marginal cost equal to marginal revenue, in understanding capital budgeting. So, when we are discussing about the traditional economic theory, that is equating the marginal cost with the marginal revenue, let us look at what is the marginal cost and what is the marginal revenue. The rule applied to capital budgeting decision is the marginal rate to be the percentage rate of return. So, marginal revenue is the percentage rate of return on any investment, and marginal cost is the percentage cost of capital. So, when the percentage cost of capital invested equates to the percentage returns on that capital, which is marginal return, then we say the firm finalizes its decision. So, this is what you have to remember. Now, when we talk about capital budgeting, we know that it's of a very high importance and helpful for the management in various decision making. But when we discuss about the nature of capital budgeting, the first question which comes before the management is that why there is a need of preparing capital budget reports? What are the various reasons? The reasons are multiple. Like, for example, what has to be produced? Whether a new machinery has to be taken on lease or should it be manufactured? What amount of training needs to be given to the workers? Everything dealing with the physical aspects, that is the material resource and the human resource within the plant. At the same time, decisions of expansion, diversification also call for capital budgeting. The most important question is how much is the amount required and from where this amount will be allocated. So, that takes us to the demand for capital and supply of capital. It's very important for the team when they are preparing the capital budget reports to first understand how much amount is required to undertake various projects and how much is available and at what cost. Because every money that is being invested today, the money that is in hand today is having higher value than what it will fetch in the future. So, when a company is investing its resources, it's very important, one, they are foregoing the opportunity cost. Second, the value of money invested today will definitely change in the future. It is said that a rupee in hand today is having higher value than what it will have tomorrow. So, therefore, it's very important to rationalize the funds. How much is being spent, at what cost, and what would be the return? So, these questions will be answered by understanding the demand for capital and the supply of capital. So, now we will be understanding the need for capital from the business point of view. It has been seen that the demand schedule for capital, which means how much of funds are required, totally will be arranged in a descending order. The projects will move on from the project which requires the highest investment to the project which requires the least funds. So, in a descending order, the company will arrange its various investment proposals and then they will look at the estimate rate of return, because highest investment and the returns with the lowest investment and the returns, they will be compared. So, what is being done is when a company wants to decide from where the amount will come and how much amount is required, it's very important to associate the investment required with a risk factor and with the return that the company will attain over a period of time from a given project investment. An investment decision will be considered profitable only if it adds more to the revenue than to the cost. It's very, very important that companies are always looking at the percentage return on the project and the percentage cost involved. And it's only when the percentage return from a project is greater, then it's percentage cost. No doubt, even if the project is requiring a higher amount of investment, more funds, but if it is the one giving the highest return, then the company will, you can say, rank it to the most profitable project. So this is what demand for capital takes the companies towards, arranging these projects in a descending order from the highest investment to the lowest, calculating the requirement of capital with the returns over a period of time. Let us understand more, how can a company actually calculate the demand for capital with the profitability of the project. In the next slide, here we will see that when the company looks at the demand for capital requirement, it is purely interested in profitability of the project, which is done in three categories. There are these three formulas called as payback period, discounted present value and internal rate of return. Only on the basis of this three method, it is very easy for the company to decide how much investment is required and what is the return that they are going to attain over a period of time. And on that basis, they finalize the project that is required for investment worth. As you know, students, we have just discussed in the given slide that the demand for capital purely can be calculated using the three methods. Let us understand the formula of these three methods. The first is called as payback period. In payback period, the amount invested for the project will be divided with the returns per year. That is called annual cash flow. So if 50,000 is invested and the returns per year are 10,000, 50,000 divided by 10,000, you get the answer 5. It means that in 5 years, the total amount that is invested will be covered. This is very useful whenever you are making any investment. How many years will be required to get all your money back? So that is called as the payback period method. The project which gives you the least payback period method, or which gives you the least payback year, is considered as the less risky project. So lowest payback period is considered as the least risk project. The second method is discounted present value. If you remember, I was saying a rupee in hand today is having a higher value than the future. So for discounted present value, we have to calculate the rate of interest of that capital which is invested. So if you are investing 50,000, then the return in the first year and the interest on that will be used. So R1 upon 1 plus interest rate. Interest rate will be the current year interest rate for the amount that you are getting in return. Plus, if the project runs in the second year, because if it is 5 years, then you will have first year, second year, third, fourth, fifth. So there will be 5R, R1, R2, R3, R4, R5. And I will be the interest rate in all those years. Only when you get the DPV value greater than your project cost. Suppose if the project is of 50,000 investment for 5 years, and if your discounted present value, calculating the interest rate, if your present value of that 50,000 today is greater than your project cost, it means that you have even covered the interest rate. It is very useful for the banks who are giving long-term loans to the customers. The third is internal rate of return. In internal rate of return, we are, instead of interest rate, we are using a variable called E. Now what is E? E stands for marginal efficiency of capital. Marginal efficiency of capital is the total returns which that capital project will bring for the company. If it's a machinery, if it is a construction project, then the return in the first year, 1 plus the efficiency, it means whatever is the cost involved in maintaining the project and the income that the project will generate. So this has to be calculated, and if the returns on the capital which is created is greater than the interest rate, then the project is considered as profitable. So these are the three main methods which are used by the company whenever they are arranging the demand for capital for the projects in a descending order. So students, as we have discussed on the board and we have seen that there are various methods of actually finding out the profitability of the project. The most popular that is discussed is the payback period, where you divide the initial investment outlay with the annual cash flow. You can very well see in this slide that we have taken the initial outlay of 1 lakh and we have divided with the annual cash flow of 25,000, giving us an answer of 4 years as a payback period method, a payback period. So as we are discussing about the payback period, the merits are, it's a very simple and easy method to calculate. Liquidity requirements is given prime importance and it favors less risky projects, because the fastest the payback period, the better the project. However, it has been criticized that profitability aspect is ignored and it assumes only constant cash flow over a long period of time, and it's not a guarantee that always the annual cash flow will be a fixed amount. It may vary. And it disregards the time value of money, and you know this is the reason why we have discounted present value and internal rate of return. So cash flow after the payback period is ignored. So this method has got its own merits and demerits. Therefore, even though it is a very easy and widely used method, it has to be complemented with the discounted present value and the internal rate of return while assessing the project profitability and investment. Now we go ahead to a concept called post audit. Once the capital budget report is prepared and it has become a master budget, investment decisions are being taken. It's very important that post audit needs to be done for every capital budget. It involves comparison of actual results with those predicted for investment decision. Now, this is always a very useful technique by the managers, because it gives a detailed explanation of the differences between what was pre-estimated and what the actual results are. This analysis helps in identifying the deficiencies in decision-making process, so that if there are any loopholes and any mistakes, they might not be repeated in the next project planning. It is also identifying the differences that arise due to factors beyond the control of firm. Why the project's cost have been more than what was estimated? What has been the drawbacks in the company's calculation becomes very, very useful guide for the future project planning. So post audit becomes a very important part of capital budgeting. Now we come to the last part of capital budgeting. That capital budget is nothing but a part and parcel of the entire project planning. Project planning, it says that capital budget always comes before project planning. Capital budget is a guide of project plans. A project refers to any scheme of investing resources. Capital budget actually tells you how the company is going to use its resources in a given time frame. So project is nothing but a scheme of investing resources, and as capital budget deals with long-term planning, project plans are also dealing with long-term planning. So let's discuss further what are the features of project planning. It determines the financial outlays. It finalizes the time, technical and financial dimensions. That's what capital budgets do. It is basically the time resource management blueprint of the company. It is a long-term phenomena. It is non-repetitive one-time exercise, which means that once the capital budget report is finalized, it automatically leads to investment decisions. It envisages a flow yield in future. Project planning and a capital budget report helps us to understand how long the project will go on and what would be the amount invested with the returns expected. So therefore, there are following steps and stages through which a project planning needs to undergo. First, to identify investment opportunities, that is finding out the quotations for a project, looking at the least quotation and highest return, assembling the resources, how much material, how much manpower, how much financial resources will be required, the working capital and the fixed capital, optimize the use of resources and estimate the yield. Every resource that is being used in the project needs to give the highest return. Select the project on the basis of investment worth. This is done by using the payback period, internal rate of return and discounted present value. Decide on the project, implement appraise. Appraisal is what you call as project, you call it as post audit. And finally, conduct the performance review, that is the post audit. Now, this plays a very, very important role in project planning. So, with that, we have understood what project planning is all about and what role a capital budget plays in the field of management. Thank you.